We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. We give you the worship. We honor you, we adore you, we magnify you. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Adoration to your name. Be glorified. Be honored. And be adored. Breathe upon tonight. Let everyone here tonight experience and encounter you. Let no one leave here the same way. Be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Everyone excited to be here tonight, say a loud amen. Are those testimonies not wonderful? Please, I want to clarify that there is no special material that we sell that carries special power, special oil or special communion or special anything. Just for clarification, the anointing oil could be picked from anywhere, prayed upon. And faith in God, not faith in the oil, produces the result. The communion materials could be picked from anywhere. So in case anybody ever met you and said, this oil is specially from Dunamis, this communion, this wristband, this and that, that is fake. We don't have anything special to sell that carries special power. It is the power of God that produces the result. And please don't let anybody misdirect you. I believe that you have understanding. Is that clear, please? Very, very important, because we live in very, very fraudulent days where somebody might deceive you. Oh, I met pastor directly, he gave me this oil. I can sell it to you if you give me more money. No, there's nothing like that. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Doorways to wisdom is our subject tonight. Doorways into wisdom. Our objective is to access ways into the world of wisdom. Understanding, access, ways into the world of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1. Does not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places by the way, in the places of the paths. Jump to verse 34. She crieth at the gates, the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Now verse 34. He said, blessed. Now wisdom is crying and is talking. He said, blessed is the man that heareth me watching daily at my gates. So wisdom has gates, has doors, has access ways, waiting at the posts of my door. Whoso findeth me, wisdom speaking, findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. So scriptures make it clear that there are doors, there are gates, there are access ways into the world of wisdom. The difference between the wise and the fool is in the ability to locate the gates, the doors, the access ways into the world of wisdom. There are gates, there are doors, there are access ways into the world of wisdom. Question is, what are these ways? What are these doors? What are these gates? Number one is meekness or humility. Meekness or humility. James chapter 3 and in verse 35. The Bible said, James 3:13. The Bible said, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Meekness of wisdom. Wisdom is accessible by meekness. Psalm 25 verse 9. He said, the meek will he guide in judgment. Judgment is discretion. Judgment is the right decision. The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach in his way. You look at the man Moses. The Bible said in Numbers chapter 12 verse 3 that Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth in his generation. Now the man Moses was very meek. Above all the men which were upon the face of the earth, by virtue of that meekness, he stepped into the world of wisdom to the point where he could lay hands on Joshua in Deuteronomy chapter 34 verse 9, where Joshua was filled with wisdom because Moses, the servant of the Lord, had laid hands on him. Meekness, meekness. I'm sure you remember how Solomon stepped into the world of wisdom. He stepped in there by meekness. In 1 Kings chapter 3 and in verse 7 to verse 9. When Solomon encountered God, he said, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. I don't know. And your servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. So give your servant an understanding heart, wisdom to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And then the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because you have not asked this thing, you have asked this thing, and has not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of your enemies, but has asked for yourself understanding to discern judgment. Therefore, behold, I have done according to thy words. I have given you a wise and an understanding heart. Who can stop there? I am a baby. I don't know how to go out or how to come in. Hear this. Arrogance is the enemy of wisdom. Arrogance is the enemy of discretion. Show me a proud person, I'll show you a confirmed fool. Show me a proud person, I'll show you a confirmed fool. The meeker you are, the wiser you become. The meeker you are. What is meekness? Teachability. The acceptance of ignorance. Accepting that you don't know. Accepting that you are a child. Accepting that you don't know your left from your right. This can make you to learn from anybody. There are people who have never learned from anybody. Meekness is the number one gateway or doorway into the world of wisdom. Number two is desire and desperation. You are meek, you are teachable, you accept that you don't know, then you desire it and you are desperate about it. In the book of Proverbs chapter 18 and in verse 1, Proverbs chapter 18 verse 1, it says, through desire, a man having separated himself, interfaced with all wisdom, true desire, the strength of your desire will determine the weight of your discretion. The strength of your desire will determine the weight of your discretion. How desirous you are will determine how wise you become. Desire. A man having separated himself intermeddled with all wisdom. James chapter 1 and in verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask. So before he can lack and even before he can ask, he is aware of his need for wisdom. Desire is the doorway to discretion. The more desperate you are, the more imparted with wisdom you get. In one of those scriptures on wisdom, both in Job chapter 28, all the way from verse 12 down, Proverbs chapter 3, all the way from verse 13 down, he begins to say that if you can seek wisdom more than you seek for silver, more than you seek for, if you can look for it, if wisdom is more important to you than money, then you can get it. That was what happened to Solomon. Desire and desperation. Lord, I can't be a fool. I can't continue to make mistakes in life. I can't continue to stumble. I can't continue to be duped permanently. I need to be wiser. And then, when that desperation comes, the wisdom comes. So, we have meekness and humility as the doorway number one. Number two is desire and desperation. Number three is prayer and supplication. You went before God to demand for wisdom. Prayer and supplication. James chapter 1 and in verse 5. James chapter 1 and in verse 5, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. If anyone lack wisdom, Lord, I am in need of wisdom. I need wisdom. I need to know which way to go. This intractable marital crisis, for example, I need wisdom on how to handle this man, this husband of mine, or this wife of mine. I need wisdom on how to handle this difficult boss in the office. I need the wisdom on how to administer this church, on how to administer church growth. I need wisdom in management of the projects that are on my hands. And you go before God and demand for wisdom. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 16 all the way to verse 18, Paul the apostle, speaking about the Ephesian church, said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. So you go before God. In this area, I am in need of wisdom. Matthew chapter 7 verse 7 already told us that the only thing you will not receive is the only thing you have not asked. If you have not received it, then it's because you have not asked. If it is not given to you, it's because you haven't asked. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto you. Somebody say loud amen. Kenneth Hagin said he prayed that prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 16 all the way to verse 17 and 18 almost 1,000 times. Father, I'm praying for myself that you give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Father, I pray for myself. Every time he would just pray and pray until he exploded in the realm of not just wisdom physically, but the realms of revelations. Realms of hearing and seeing and so forth, by the mystery of going before God and praying desperately. So meekness and humility, gate number one. Number two, desire and desperation. Number three, prayer and supplication. Number four is inquisitions or an inquiry. Inquisitions and inquiry. Simply put, is the asking of questions. It is those who ask questions that deserve answers. Both asking questions from God and asking questions from man. It is those who ask questions that deserve answers. You know, an intelligent person, by the speech they give, but you know a wise person by the questions they ask. Am I communicating? You know a wise person by the questions they ask. Even children who will be very great tomorrow, they ask very, very questions that communicate wisdom. One of my children, when they were growing up, asked me a very, very serious question. And he said, "Daddy, who planted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden?" I say, "It is God." "It's okay. If God planted it, why did he say they should not eat it?" Question. "If he didn't want them to eat it, why should he plant it?" Wow. I'm sure that even if it is for your adult mind, it is a serious matter. I told the child, I said, "Yes, God planted it. And God planted it for one reason. If that tree was not there, there is no way God will know that they will obey him if they had a choice. But because they would be doing everything like a robot, and God will never know if they had an alternative, what they will do. So there was something that was there to test their choice. Unfortunately, they failed. If you have a choice, will you obey me?" They had a choice and they could not obey God. So God will never force a man to do anything contrary to their will. He will give a man the choice. You can choose what you want and remain with the consequences of your choice. Hallelujah. And when you hear such questions, you know where a person is going. Jeremiah chapter 6 and in verse 16. He says, "Stand in the ways. Thus says the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask." That is wisdom. "Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And you shall find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk therein. We will not walk therein. We will not walk therein. We will not walk therein." Somebody say a loud amen. Luke chapter 2 verse 46. "See the secret of the wisdom of Jesus. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and asking questions." That is the Son of God. Son of God, hearing the doctors and asking questions. "And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." Can you see that? He was asking questions, so he had a lot of answers. And then go to verse 52. "He landed with wisdom. And he increased in wisdom. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man." If you start with questions, you must end with wisdom. He started with questions, ended with wisdom. It is not possible to ask questions and lack wisdom. Show me a man, show me a woman who knows the road of questions. I will show you a person who has the way of wisdom. There are too many people who are so arrogant to ask. Supposing I ask and they say, "I don't know." I'm telling you, some of the most intelligent, some of the wisest people on the face of the earth ask questions permanently. Even if you go to the classroom, some of the most intelligent students in the class ask the most maybe irritating question to the teacher. They just keep asking, "Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir." And then the other one is just mopping and just quiet. Supposing I say something and they say, "I don't know anything." Just keep on failing in the class. Who knows this? And the intelligent guy will still lift up his hand. If he says it and they say it's not correct, you will learn and still keep on. Beloved brothers and sisters, when last did you ask a question, a genuine question? Whether you ask God or you ask man. How do I do this? How do I do that? What step should I take? It's very, very important on the journey of wisdom. This is inquisition and inquiry. Number 5 is seeking and searching. You have meekness and humility. You desire desperately. You have prayed and you have asked God. You are inquiring and asking questions. And then you are seeking and you are searching. Proverbs 25 and in verse 2 said, it is the honor, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. But it is the honor of kings to search out a matter. To search out a matter. We just read Proverbs 18 verse 1. Proverbs 18 and in verse 1. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. He seeketh to interact with wisdom. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and in verse 12 and 13a. Ecclesiastes 12. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and must study his wilderness of the flesh. Now go to verse 13. Let us hear it. Alright. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 7:25. He said, I applied my heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. I applied my heart to search and to seek out. That is what wise people do. God's servant Bishop Oyedepo said, when he wanted to know the secret of supernatural finances and financial prosperity, he got the book of God's Will is Prosperity, Kenneth Copeland, and another book by Gloria Copeland, locked himself up for 3 days, and said, Lord, with fasting, I want you to show me the mystery, the secret behind prosperity. Began the search, and at the end of the day, he understood. Daniel chapter 9 verse 2 said, I understood by books. Understanding is the bedrock of wisdom. I gained understanding, gained wisdom by books. And so, if you are going to be wise, you must be a man, a woman of books, a woman of resource materials, a woman of information base. You must have it. Any area where you need wisdom. In that area, you embark on a search. You look for materials. There are people who are doing businesses that they have never read anything about. He has not read anything about estate or property development. He has not read, he knows nothing about it. All he knows is that he's in the market. He has not read anything about his or her line of business. He's not upgrading or updating himself or herself. And so it remains there. If you go into the aviation industry, once to twice every year, a pilot must go back for recertification to remain updated so it's not outdated, so that he can remain relevant and keep on flying. Medical doctors go for refresher training, consultant surgeon, consultant gynecologist, and so on. Every once in a year, once in 6 months, they return back to do refresher courses to keep themselves in touch with latest developments and recent practices, best global practices, what is going on now currently in surgery in America, in India, and so on and so forth. They have to do that. And so it is very, very important if you are going to walk in the realm of wisdom that you are going to make searches. You are going to seek and search. There are people who take holidays and all they do with that holiday is to go and blow away money and go and excite the flesh and excite the fancy and so on. Meanwhile, their minds and everything is bankrupt. And that is not correct. It is good to relax and it's part of it. Recreation is part of life. But once in a while, maybe you just take 2 or 3 days casually. And you went on a search for something. How do I explode spiritually or explode financially or move beyond this level? And you went on a desperate search. When that is done, it is not possible to learn and not progress. Knowledge brings progress. When you are updated, you cannot be outdated. Very, very important. Seeking and searching is doorway to wisdom number 6. Number 7 is attention and submission to instruction. Attention and submission to instruction. That is, you are not just reading or studying by yourself now. You made yourself available to be taught. You made yourself available to be instructed. You made yourself available to be taught. Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse 5. Alright, let's start from verse 1 actually. A wise man will hear. Let's start from verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom. Instruction of wisdom. Instruction of wisdom. So instruction is the doorway to wisdom. Now move to verse 5. Instruction of wisdom. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding will attain unto wise counsels. Proverbs chapter 8 and in verse 33. Proverbs chapter 8. Hear instruction and be wise. And refuse it not. So, to hear instruction is to be wise. To hear instruction is to be wise. Proverbs chapter 9 and in verse 9. Proverbs chapter 9 and in verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. If you want to be wiser, you feed on instruction. If you want to be wiser, you feed on instruction. Proverbs chapter 13 and in verse 1. Proverbs chapter 13 and in verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A wise son heareth his father's rebuke, his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Now Proverbs 19:20, and then we'll draw the curtain on that point. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your later end. Hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy later end. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Somebody say amen at the top of your voice. The secret of leading is learning. To learn well is to lead well. Light makes wise. Light gives weight. Let me give you a general counsel. Any man who learns from nobody is error waiting to happen. Hello? Any man, he may be a pastor, he may be a politician, he may be anything, who learns from anybody is a colossal error that is waiting to happen. One man pastored a people. He was on his own. No mentor, no pastor, no tutor, nothing. He was called Jim Jones then. One day he told all his people that this world is not good enough. Let them all just go to heaven at once. He gave them cyanide poisoning. All died, including himself. None of them could question what he was saying, because he was a law to himself. He had nobody and they were not bothered that he was not listening to anybody. I will not be pastored by a pastor who is not being pastored. It's danger, it's disaster, it's calamity. Nobody is alpha or omega of knowledge. Waiting to happen. Guidelines are there for safety. Have you been on a bridge before and they put handrails on that bridge? Is it because people are blind that is why they put the handrail on the bridge? No. There are people with their eyes open who will fall into the water if there is no handrail. They will fall into the water. They will just walk and just fall. Maybe, some people, their eye will turn. It's inside the water. Some people, suicide will enter their head. Say, why don't you just jump into the water? Let crocodile just interact with you. They will just fall in all manner. Some, the demon of death will push them inside. So they put handrail there. Guidelines guarantee safety. That is why you need to be guided by higher instruction. You need to be guided in life. This is very, very important. You need to be guided by higher instruction. Very, very important. Attention and submission to instruction. Show me your father and I can confirm your feather. Show me your father and you are guaranteed a ladder. Show me your father and we can confirm a future. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. Someone was talking to me some time ago. I was talking about someone. I said, oh, please, who is his father? And he said, I don't know. And I said, does he have a father? He said, I don't know. I said, if he has a father, won't you know? I asked him, I said, who is my father? So he mentioned it. Oh, yeah, it's very clear. Anybody who is being mentored, pastored, tutored, the devils will know. Even devil will know. Any of you here now in the realm of the spirit, the devil is looking for your trouble. It's the mantle of your father that will appear. I said, don't you know who you are dealing with? Hey! Even the devil will be aware that you are not a bastard, you are not fatherless, you are not futureless. Even the devil will be aware. How much more human beings? How much more your friends? Someone say amen. Someone say amen. Lift up your right hand and say, Father, I submit myself. I surrender my life to instruction, to direction, to guidance. I am available. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. I hear that there is a move called whatever, school of something, something. People don't need to go to church anymore. Just remain at home. Let the Holy Ghost teach you this and that. That is error from the pit. Give them just a few days, a few weeks. Explosion into all manner of terrible things. Error. It didn't start today. It comes in cycles. Since the days of old. Since Bible days. Kenneth Hagin days. Our university days. It comes around like this. They start going to church. They get destroyed. Some run mad. Some pregnant out of wedlock. All manner. Then it disappears. Then after some time, those who didn't know that such a thing existed before, they find it afresh and become excited. Just comes in cycles, and that will never be your portion. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. The same God who said, He gave us the Holy Ghost to teach us all things, the same God said, He gave unto them apostles and prophets and pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So there is an instruction the Holy Ghost does,
And there is a balancing and a correction that the apostle does, and the prophet does, and the teacher does, and the pastor does. So that when you hear something from the devil and you thought it was from the Holy Ghost, the apostle will say that is not from God. The prophet will say that is not scripture. The pastor will say no, that is not correct. The teacher will say no. I have ransacked this scripture from Genesis to Revelation. What you are saying is not balanced. Not everybody holding the microphone is a teacher. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? And listen. Every truth that is stretched becomes error. It is truth applied in excess that is called error. There is a way I can preach on supernatural supplies and financial abundance in God that it becomes materialistic and becomes an error. Where your focus is on the money and not on God. There is a way I can preach on holiness and it becomes an error. Where I say don't touch money because it will take you to hell. Where I say leave the money and leave everything to the people of the world. Then it becomes an error. It is true, but it is applied in excess. It is pushed to an extreme. That is why there is the need for instruction. I don't know why God is having me to branch this way tonight, but I'm sure there is somebody seated here tonight and somebody watching online that is benefiting from what I'm saying here. Attention and submission to instruction is your way of wisdom. Number 7. Observation and watching. Observation and watching. Papa Yereko told a story of one of his cousins many years ago who will not listen to nobody. He was right and everybody was wrong. Nobody could teach him. Nobody could instruct him. Papa said he was trying to tell him some things and made him to see reason in some way. See, the man almost fought him. So he left him alone. After donkey years, 15, 20 years, he was still roaming about in cycles. No life, no job, nothing. Because he was right, everybody was wrong. That will never be your portion. In Jesus' precious name. Number 7 is observation and watching. The eyes, what you see with your eyes, affect the wisdom dimension you can operate in. Observation and watching. Lamentations chapter 3 and in verse 51. Lamentations chapter 3 and in verse 51. He said, my eye affects my heart. What my eyes see affects the state of my heart. My eye affects my heart. That is wisdom. Eye is observation. Heart is wisdom. My eye affects my heart. Now Proverbs chapter 24 and in verse 30. Proverbs 24 and in verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked and received instruction. I am looking, but I am hearing. I am looking and I am seeing something. It was the farmland of a lazy man. The walls of his farm broken. The grass has covered the weed had covered the plantation of a lazy man. That was what Solomon was describing. Then I saw it. I considered it well. I looked on it. And what I was seeing was giving me instruction. What was the instruction? A little sleep. A little slumber. A little folding of your hands to sleep. Then poverty will come like one that is on a journey. That arrive without having you notice. And then your want, your need will arrive like bandits. Arrive like bandits for instant destruction. Arrive like an armed man. What was it?
The man was lazy. I didn't read it from a book. Nobody taught me. I was watching the man's life and I was receiving observation. Am I communicating? I grew up learning how a good marriage should be and how a good marriage is and how marriage should be and how marriage should not be by several observations. I grew up to learn life management. I drive on the road, open my eyes, and receive a lot of instruction. You see, many people look but see nothing. They are hearing but understanding nothing. Am I communicating? The thing just passed their face and they didn't see a thing. They didn't see anything. They didn't see anything. I observed some people in time past and I learned how not to do the work. If this is the way, if you want to fail in life and ministry, do it the way this person is doing it. And if you want to end well, do it like this. You just saw all those things and took note of it. Somebody say amen. One day we're going to a fellowship meeting with a young lady at that time, going for a fellowship meeting. So we came beside a farmland. And I looked at the farm, I said, this farm looks good. And she said, me, I hate farming. I hate farms. What? I was hearing that for the first time. I said, but do you like food? I have not seen that girl from that day till tomorrow. If she was a potential marriageable entity, it ended with that comment. If you ate farm, ministry is a farm, is a vineyard. There are people with their eyes open, they marry the wrong girl. Eyes open, they marry the wrong husband. The man was speaking and acting and suggesting and doing everything to make you gain wisdom. You refuse. Eyes that see eyes that look are plenty. But eyes that see out of what they are looking, those eyes are very few. One young man brought a girl to me many, many years ago. He said, this is who he wants to marry. After I interacted with them a few minutes, I said, "What? How did you see it before you saw?" He was shocked. I said, "How did you see it?" He was confused. The marriage couldn't hold. It couldn't hold. May God open your eyes. As your eyes are open, may you see. And as you see, may you act correctly. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. One key is, what am I saying? What is what I am seeing saying to me? What am I? Especially if you have a very, very phenomenal encounter and experience. What have I just seen? What have I just experienced? Out of one experience, I can write down 10 lessons. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Somebody say loud amen. I was going to Canaan land some years ago. And we're inside a traffic, very terrible traffic. On what do you call that? Yanakaja area. On that big road. And by the time, we just kept moving gradually. When we reach a place, I share it was a trailer that was not meant to park. It just blocked, parked carelessly somehow. The whole road, there was no traffic in front. Meanwhile, people are suffering behind. I realized, one, disorder is foundation for frustration. Anywhere there is frustration, find out something is disorderly. Something is not being done right. Then the second thing will excite you. It says, if the trip is slow, keep moving. The front is free. That is, in life, in case you are moving and things are, you have done everything you know to do, and yet it appears as if the journey is slow. Just keep on moving for as long as you can take one more step. The front is free. There is no way I could have read that from a book. So that powers my resolution. That if I am doing the right thing, no devil can stop me from taking steps. If I am in the right path, no devil can stop me from... I gave tithe for a long time, I didn't see the returns. But I kept on and I kept on. This is what the Bible said. I read it from scripture. And this is true. I kept on, I kept on, I kept on, and then boom! Rain began to fall. And he's falling. And he kept on falling. And he kept on falling. I mean, I was preaching it. I was practicing it. But it's like the devil was frustrating the result and the returns. But I knew it was true. I knew it's scriptural. But I kept at it. That if the trip is slow, keep on moving. The front is free. Let that be your take home tonight. Look at your neighbor. Say, if the trip is slow, keep moving. The front is free. Yes. I've been in situations where we have been inside heavy rain. Heavy rain to the point where you had to park the car by the roadside. And then all of a sudden you moved a little bit. And the other place is as dry as earth. Say, don't use your present moment to predict your future. What is happening around you now is not a reflection of what will happen later. Hey! Because the rain was so heavy, you thought that it would be raining for the next 100 kilometers. You thought it would be raining for the next 200 kilometers. You thought it would be raining for 5 hours in a stretch. Not knowing that it's just round here. And just you move forward a little bit and the earth is as dry as anything. But many people use their past to predict their future. What happened to you before and what is happening now is not a prediction of what will happen later. Just do the right thing. The weather in front is clear. Hey! Hey! You have learned wisdom free of charge without paying any gate fee. Stand up on your feet, and give the Lord a shout, a clap, and a shout of praise. A bigger clap and a shout of praise. Look at your neighbor, say, don't use your present moment to determine your future movement. The climate in today does not predict the weather in tomorrow. Hey! I am here to announce to somebody, something is changing in your life. Something is changing in your life. Something is changing in your life. Where you are now is about to give way to where you are meant to be. Shout the loudest, amen.
Today they may be tolerating you. They may be looking down on you, taking you for granted. And all of a sudden everything changes tomorrow. And then they begin to bow for you and say, good morning, sir. Oh, sorry for everything we did against you. We didn't know you are going to become like this. We didn't know God has a hand on your life. We didn't know your future is like this. Somebody shout, yes, Lord. Give the Lord a praise. Help me walk to seven people and tell them congratulations. You have a bright future ahead. 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 Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. Please sit down. Please understand. You only have insight where you have interest. Many people are not interested in the events around them. Just allow things to happen and pass. This matter, what am I learning? The Bible said, day unto day uttereth speech. Psalm 19 verse 1 and 2. Night unto night showeth knowledge. Say, everything is saying something. Jeremiah chapter 18, God told Jeremiah from verse 3 to go to the house of the potter. He said, and as you go there, I will cause you to hear my voice while you see the potter. And while he was seeing the potter, Jeremiah was hearing the voice. While the potter was making the clay, God was teaching him wisdom. And I have discovered that the Holy Ghost speaks. All right, we'll go to that later. While he was observing, the Lord spoke. Observation and watching. Please put Jeremiah also chapter 18, verse 1 all the way to verse 5. Observation and watching. Number 8 is association or company. I may not spend time with this because our time is almost gone. Association or company. The Bible said in Proverbs 13 and in verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Your company determines your mentality. Your company determines your mindset. Association affects discretion. The way you think, the way you reason, is affected by the kind of people you work with. Your friends affect your mind. They influence your thought process. They influence your mindset. They influence your choices. Do you understand? There are people who didn't marry who they were meant to marry because a friend said the man wasn't good for them. Your friends affect your choices. They affect your mindset. They affect your thought process. They affect your reasoning capacity. This is powerful tonight. You know, to be wise, you must be surrounded by the wise. Did you hear what I just said? To be wise and remain wise, you must be surrounded by the wise. First Kings chapter 12, when the elders of Israel came to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, and they said to him, your father made our yoke heavy. Can you lessen the yokes of your father on us? How many of you remember the story? The Bible said he went to the old man that sat with his father. He went to the old man. He interacted. You see, Solomon was a wise man who surrounded himself with wise men. And this wise man gave the boy the counsel. First Kings chapter 12, verse 6 to 7. Don't Let's advise you, this is what to do. Lessen the yoke
of your people, of the people. Become a servant to them. Speak good words to them. And they will become your servant forever. Go ahead, verse 7. I'm reading already verse 7. If you be a servant to these people this day and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. He discarded that wisdom and went to the wisdom of mentally bankrupt young men, area boys. And they told him, tell the people, your finger is thicker than your father's waist. Tell them, your father came them with whips. You will deal with them with scorpions. He opened his mouth and said it in all stupidity. And the people looked at him and said, this small boy, we are trying to help you, didn't know. What portion have we in David? And what inheritance do we have in the son of Jesse? To your tents, O Israel. We don't need you again as our king. He forcefully sent a man to go and collect us. They stoned the man to death. That was how the kingdom left him permanently. God remained only one tribe, the tribe of Judah, and he had a little tribe of Benjamin for the sake of David. The man lost the kingdom at the frequency of mumulity. That is the English, the Nigerian word for stupidity. Mumulity. Mumuciousness. Stupidity. Am I communicating at all? Show me your friends and I can confirm your wisdom. Show me your friends. Show me who you call friend and it is clear whether you are wise or you are bankrupt of wisdom. The person you call your friend, it is not his fault that the person is your friend. It is your fault for agreeing that that is your friend. I don't have a single friend that is zero upstairs. I mean, it's better to walk alone than to walk with the wrong crowd. Am I communicating? Your association, your friendship. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who was their friend? Daniel. In Daniel chapter 1 verse 20, in all matters of wisdom that the king inquired of them, he found them, that is Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, 10 times all matters of wisdom, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. And Daniel continued. So when it was time to look for wisdom, Daniel went and looked for those his friends. Daniel chapter 2 verse 17 to 19. He went and looked for those his friends. He went and looked for his company. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that he will desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Am I communicating? Love everybody liberally, but please relate selectively. Did you hear what I said? What I say? What I say? What did I say? Love liberally, but relate selectively. Love is a command. Don't hate people. Love is a command, but relationship is a choice. We are commanded to love, never commanded to relate. Have you ever seen any passage? Be the friend of everybody. Ensure that everybody, he said, be at peace with all men. He didn't say be friend to everybody, because it is not possible. Because there are people you are talking water, they are talking chai. That was the mystery of the Tower of Babel. When in one language the man said come, in the other language it means I will deal with you. So they scattered. Praise the Lord. And when you hear people talk, and you hear people behave, that is when you will know whether they are friend or foe.
that person that is bringing the news of other people to you, run from them. They are not in the interest of your future. That person that is bringing gossip to you, run from them. You have too much to deal with than to be dealing with gossip. See, I just love you so much. I just wanted to let you know that how people are talking about you. Let them talk. Talking about me is the least of my concern now. I want to succeed. I want to impact my generation. I want to make some millions and use it to push the gospel. How will they talking about me affect me now and help me to achieve that purpose? How will I achieve my purpose with that topic now? That will distract my mind. It will cause me bitterness. It will take my focus off for some days. You are not doing me you are not in the best of my interest telling me such garbage. The Bible says, as an angry countenance driveth away a backbiting tongue. Oh yeah, you never saw it? Please search it out for me. So does the north wind drive rain. An angry countenance driveth a backbiting tongue. Check it out, ICT and place it there. So there is a face you carry that they can easily gossip for you. The north wind driveth away rain. So does an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. Bible complete. Too much, in fact. That is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So there is a face you carry that they can comfortably gist about other people in your front. And there is a face you carry that they can, if they drop the first sentence, they can't drop the second one. That is the way my father in the Lord used to look. That is, if you are preaching and he's sitting and you are preaching. If you are not sure of yourself, you will drop the mic. No matter what you say, he will just be looking at you like this.
Say, Father, I receive the grace to walk with the right company. I receive the grace to walk with the right association. I receive that grace now in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat.
Have you gained anything so far tonight? Number 8 is association. Number 9. I have to deal with everything today because this is the last service of the month of June. Reasoning, thinking, meditation. Reasoning. Sitting down to reason. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Shall have good success. Good success. The Amplified Version said, please get it for me. This book of the law shall not be. Now, that's a translation I'm looking for. That he says, I can't remember now. He said, then shall you deal wisely in the affairs of life. When you meditate, when you think on scripture, and you think generally, then you shall deal wisely in the affairs of life. If you get it, you can identify for me. Now, Acts chapter 6 verse 1. There was a murmuring of the Grecians when the number of disciples were multiplied. And there arose a murmuring in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called a multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reasonable. Let us reason this thing, that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Let us look out. And then the rest is history. They analyzed the situation. And they said, it's not reasonable. This is not correct. That we are majoring in the minor. We have left the word. We have left praying. We are only doing welfare. No! Let us face the word. Let us face prayer. And let us select people to handle welfare. And the same please the people. And they act according to their reasonability. The outcome of it was productivity. Am I communicating at all? And then the church grew. Everything exploded. Wisdom is analytical and logical reasoning. You sit down to analyze and to calculate logically. How is this thing? What is the better way to get a better result? I am struggling in this situation. How do I get better results? Analytic, logical, strategic reasoning. That is what wisdom is all about. In Proverbs chapter 20 verse 5, he said, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep waters, but a man of understanding will pull it out. Answers are inside your mind, but you draw them out by reasoning. You draw them out by meditation. You draw them out. Ay, 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 ay. Mako shaka la gada gala la la la. Americans will say, let me preach myself happy today. You draw it out by reasoning. You draw it out by thinking. You draw it out by meditation. Your mind, your heart, your is loaded with answers. But nothing can be drawn until you sit down and you think well. You think the best. You think the most when you think on paper. You carry pen, carry paper. What is the way to get out of this situation? Number one. You put your mind under pressure. If you have to blast in tongues, whatever. How? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. These are 10 ways that can get me out of this situation. Now, which 3 out of these 10 will be the most instant in productivity of result? And then, you go to work. I heard that from my father in the Lord, Bishop Yedeko, for the first time. You think the most and think the best when you think on paper. That statement belongs to him. Hallelujah. When you think on paper. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 10 and in verse 19. As Peter taught on the vision, the Holy Ghost said, God speaks to those who think. He speaks to those who think. The voice of God comes in the midst of meditation, comes in the midst of thinking, comes in the midst of reasoning. And the voice of God equals the wisdom of God. Equals the wisdom of God. Somebody say amen. Did you get anything tonight? Have you eaten very good food tonight? So, number one, meekness and humility. Number two, desire and desperation. Number three, prayer and supplication. Number four, inquisition and inquiry. Number five, seeking and searching. Number six, attention and submission to instruction. Number seven, observation and watching. Number eight, association. And in the association, we dealt with the backbiting tongue. Do you know there are people who claim that they have an enemy? This man is my enemy, this one. You are not the one. My worst enemy is the devil. I told my wife, I said, why can't we catch the devil and kill him at once? So that the whole world can rest. Let's just find the devil, kill him at once. So, if I claim that this person is my enemy, I will meet this man. Say, are you close to this person? Don't be. It's not a good person. What of you? I saw you talking with him the other day. What were you people discussing? You didn't mention anything about me. He's a bad person. Don't. That is the yeshiousness of life. Yeah. You know what Yoruba call yeah? Wo.
life is too short to make permanent enemies. Who is the kind of person that will make a permanent enemy out of a journey from here to Guagualada? Inside a bus. Eh? He saw somebody in the bus. And then they didn't talk with each other. From there, he vowed that person is an enemy for life. He may not meet the person again. What is a spot diagnosis?
Madness.
That's right. And people do such things inside church. It's my enemy. Don't be their friend. I don't talk to him. Don't talk to him. Oh, yeah, yeah. How do you even have the time to notice who is your enemy? If you have an assignment to do with your life, and you have a destiny to fulfill, and there are so many things in your life that you need to settle, you haven't settled. It's a new day. The next time anybody is coming to you to talk like that, say, did you hear what Pastor preached last time? Is it your type he was talking about? Oh, you are not in service. Let me get you the tape. It will help you behave better. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Be so focused that you are not aware of who is saying what. Be so focused on fulfilling your destiny, making your mark, impacting your world, that you are not even aware of who is saying what or who is not saying what. Somebody say amen. And so that was association or company. Reasoning and thinking was number 9. And number 10 is impartation. We are somebody who carries the wisdom of God. Either speaks it upon you, releases it upon you by the laying on of hands. Impartation. Impartation. Deuteronomy chapter 34 and in verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 34 and in verse 9. Deuteronomy 34 and in verse 9. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Who speaks into your life, who lays hands on you, determines the wisdom you can walk in. That is why you should be careful. You don't surrender your head anywhere they say they are laying hands on people. Many, many years ago, I did that. I regretted it. So all of you on this side, step out here and be on the line. The person laying hands on people, I wasn't sure of him. I said, how will I do now? But now I know better. It's not today. It's 20 something. It's not today. So, after that, I had my father in the Lord. I had my mentor. I said, excuse sir, there is a hand that laid on me one time. I don't like it. Can you lay so it can be unlaid? Right? What is it? All of you, line up. Power is flowing. You can stand up, all right, but you just move like you are going to the toilet. You say, where are you going? Say, I'm coming. You move away. When the process has finished, you can come back if you need to. Or you can move for good. And ask, usher, please, I left Bible on the front seat. Stand up on your feet. Shout out, pray. And if you have ever received any such laying on of hands or impartation, tonight it is canceled. It is deleted. It is deleted. It is arrested. It is nullified. In the name of Jesus. I know somebody is blessed. Who is that person that is the most blessed tonight? I think for tonight's own service, we'll do the dance for 3 minutes.
What do you think? Let's celebrate this download of word. This downpour of wisdom is truly a new beginning in the second half of this year, because this instruction is like a marching order of how to behave. And this is the last midweek service, or the last service for the month of June, and it's how to behave in the next 6 months. I'd like you to celebrate. I'd like you to give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give the Lord a shout of praise. And help me shake three hands around you. Tell them congratulations for this download. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Come and see what the Lord has done for me.
Tell me something.
He has taken away my sorrows and I am free.
That's right.
Everybody say, I got my power, hallelujah.
Tell me something.
I got my power, hallelujah.
That's right.
Because of Jesus. Every day. Look at blessings. Come and see what the Lord has done for me. He has taken away my sorrow. And I'll never run into your tomorrow. And I'll never run into your tomorrow. Because of Jesus.
Thank you.
just under 1 minute at the most, and then we shall be up tonight. Now lift your hands. Prayer number one is appreciation to God for the download of this word. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Lift your hands and your voices and say, Father, thank you for your goodness and your mercies for my life tonight. Thank you for your rain of word on wisdom. I receive this rain of your word, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Father, thank you. In Jesus' precious name. Lift your hands in James chapter 1 and in verse 5. He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him call. Let him ask to God. Let him ask. Lift your hands and say after me, say, Father,
Father,
I come
to express
my need for wisdom.
I receive
wisdom,
the baptism of wisdom
from you tonight.
I receive now
in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak to God. Baptism of wisdom. In Jesus' precious name. Lift up your hands and give the Lord the praise. I want to confirm to us that the prayers we are praying for Nigeria is not in vain. How many of you believe that? So many things are happening that you know. So many things are happening that you don't know. A man told me yesterday, how many terrorists are being dispossessed and surrendering en masse? I am going to ask him to give me the details. He is within the system. Other things are happening, like you know. But more will happen. We are going to ask the just God to continue. Somebody told me of how somebody of the other religion, deep in the other religion, he said, the prayer you people are praying, please continue to pray it. He said, it is helping our nation. Continue to pray it. He said, don't stop until next year when the election will come. He said, continue to pray. Not a church person. Isaiah chapter 26 and in verse 9, he said, with my soul, have I desired you in the night? Yeah. With my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world
will learn righteousness. Lift your hands and say, Father, we ask for your judgment and your justice in Nigeria. In the name of Jesus, we decree against the oppression and manifestation of injustice in Nigeria. Father, grant Nigeria justice and judgment in every realm. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. Justice and judgment in every realm. Jesus' precious name. We prayed a prayer at the healing and deliverance service yesterday. If the ICT have that prayer, they can place it on the screen. But before then, Ezra chapter 7 and in verse 26 is where that passage came from. Everybody read it, one to go. And whosoever will not do the law of your king and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death or to banishment, or to confiscation of goods, or to imprisonment. Anybody who is violating the law of God and the law of our land, Father, judge them. Those that need to die, let them die. Those that need to go on exile, let them go. Those whose properties must be seized, let it be seized. And those who need to go to prison, let them go. Place it on the screen. Say, Father,
we ask
today that whoever will not do your purpose and your will in our land, let your judgment answer speedily. Those that need to die, let them die. Those that need to go on exile, let them go. Those whose properties need to be collected, let them be collected. And those who need to go to the prison, let them go. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. Father, we ask today that whosoever will not do your purpose and your will in our land, leadership, let your judgment answer speedily. Those that need to die, let them die. Those that need to go on exile, let them go on exile. Those whose properties need to be collected, let them be collected. And those who need to go to the prison, let them go. In the name of Jesus. Speak, Mahashara. In Jesus' precious name. Lift your hands tonight. Something is about to drop on you and on our nation. Lift your hands in thanksgiving. your hands everywhere you are and say, Father, I receive a new wavelength, a new frequency, of wisdom, tonight. Lift your hands high. Father, let it flow. Divine encounters overnight. Divine ideas, prophetic revelation, divine inspiration, clarity of thought, clarity of reasoning. Let it be the portion of your people here this moment. Blessed be your name. Lift your hands high. I declare the release of help, mercy, grace from heaven. Receive fresh light, fresh insight, fresh inspiration, fresh fire. Lift your hands up. It is a privilege. Lift your hands up. It is an honor. Father, let the fire fall. Let fresh fire, fresh impartation, let it fall. At the count of three, place your hand on your head and scream, I receive, and something shall drop on you. Something, fresh life, fresh wisdom. And those who are in need of deliverance will receive instant liberty. In the name of Jesus, receive it one. All you need to scream is, I receive. And then place your hands on yourself. Father, let it flow. Let it draw. Receive it again. One, two, and three. Receive. Yes, yes, yes. Receive. 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 Receive, 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 receive. Receive the fresh release of wisdom, of health, of good. Take your mask. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. In Jesus' precious name. Something has been released upon you, and you shall testify. Lift your hands everywhere and give him the praise. While we are doing that, you are here tonight in need of surrender to Jesus, in need of forgiveness for your sins. You want today to mark a new day for you. You want Jesus to be Lord over your life. You are saying to me, Pastor, forgive me. I ask that God will forgive me my sins tonight. I want to live for Jesus. The Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Pick your Bibles and pick your bags. Quickly rush to the front. While they are coming, the communion will also take their position. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give you the count of seven to rush forward. The rest of us, take your seat 1 minute while they come. One. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Two. Keep coming. Run forward. Three. How with your bags and your Bibles? Five. Everybody see. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Everything on my way. Every moment on my way. Father, we give you the prayer.
You want an addiction broken of your life, a lifestyle, something you know God is not happy with, smoking, drinking, prostitution, gambling, lying, cheating, duping, fraud, Indian hemp, anything you are not sure God is happy with, you can come forward.
I've got my mind made up. I want, because I want.
One. Quickly, come forward. I've got my mind. Congratulations. Place your right hand on your chest. Those who are still coming, come forward, join us and pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. I ask that you come into my life. Make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of the enemy broken and grace to live for God be released upon you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.